to the family. We're glad that you have come to share your life with us. As we grow in love and may we always be to you what God would have us be, a family always there to be strong and to be welcome to.
Wasn't this a nice touch? Such a talented family, the De Cruz family. They can whip up a song at the drop of a hat and pull it off so beautifully. It's a joy for Lynn and me to be here. And Andrew and Lacia, thank you for so sweetly and lovingly honoring us with the invite and asking us to preside over your wedding and to share the word. I was not going to come here. I'm not going to let anything stop me from coming here, which almost happened. But fortunately, steroids and antibiotics are helpful at such times. So excuse me if my throat is bad. Whenever I'm preaching at a wedding, I have to ask myself, who am I speaking to? Am I speaking to the couple concerned? Sometimes I may be doing that. But in this case, if you gauge from the vows, they're such deep vows and such depth of content in the vows themselves that speak about a couple that has got a tremendous head start in starting their marriage. Their parents' ceiling is their floor. And they're riding on the shoulders of their parents. And one can see from the content of the vows, which I'm sure you've written from your heart, that you've understood. And I'm glad I changed my word at the last minute, because the things I was going to say, you already said. And so beautifully, which is the key to communication, to good marriage, communication. For those who are here listening to a word on a day like this, I think I've decided I'm speaking to everyone. Whether you're married or you're not married, I think what the Bible has to say about the relationship between a man and a woman is relevant for all of us, because we've all been created by God. And I'm going to unusually preach from Genesis 1, 26 to 31, which I've never preached on regarding marriage before. And this is what it says. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And he let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the sixth day. Lord, we thank you for the richness of your word. And I just want to pray, Lord Jesus, in the 15, 20 minutes that I have, I'll be able to share and touch your life through the word and touch lives here in Jesus' name. You know, this description is a description of it's an idyllic description of what life was supposed to be. And if you're going through life right now, it has certain ingredients in it, and you say, can such a life actually be so? In other words, it is before the fall of man. In Genesis chapter 3, it talks about the fall of man. What was it like before the fall of man? And what it was like before the fall of man is what it should be for us after the coming of Christ. And we can live in the good of Genesis 1, 26 to 31. You know, it is said that the answer to every problem in the world can be tackled from Genesis 1 to 11. Look at Genesis 1 to 11, you'll find a solution to every problem in the world. Okay. Now, I have no time to unpack that for you this morning, but to only say this, that we belong to a God who we've been speaking about and worshiping this morning and saying that God is a good God. And what are three things? And notice who he's speaking to, who he's speaking about. He's speaking to the first couple. So Andrew and Lacia, he could be speaking to you. He could be speaking to you and telling you what is here. And he could be speaking to all of us because all of us are made in his image and likeness. And as Colin said at the beginning, if anyone here doesn't know the goodness of God and what is that God we worship here, today is the day for you to get to know that God. And today is the day for those of us who know him to get to know him even better, because it's a process. I've been a Christian for almost 37 or 38 years. In these 38 years, one has got to know God more and more and more, and it is a delightful journey. If you ask someone who knows Jesus, how is life? I met Meher yesterday and I asked her, how is life? She said, oh, good. I said, you know, it's nice to hear that kind of an answer. Life is good. And we know what is happening all around us. There's a mess. So number one, what is it this life about is being said by God? You see, God blesses us. He's a God of blessing. It says in verse 28, God bless them. Now, when we go through life, we can sometimes say, where is this blessing? I don't taste of the God of blessing. Well, something happened in between. But remember, his original intention was to be a blesser. If you are alive and you've got the gift of life, the very fact that you're listening to me right now, you have the gift of life. And if you're going through a challenging time, a hopelessness in your life, remember that God did not create you for that life. He created you for a blessed life. And He created you for a blessed marriage. And so, what are some of the blessings? You see, a life of total peace and freedom from strife and guilt. That is a blessed life, isn't it? If you want to live a blessed life, you want peace. A disturbed life, if you're going through a disturbed life, that is not your portion. And if you've never heard this message before, you're hearing it for the first time, then hear this. It is a reality. I stand as a witness to that reality. That when I was 33 years old, I was a miserable man. But today, I am a happy man. I enjoy life, okay, even with a bad throat. So, He's a God who wants to bless us with peace and tranquility. He gives us acceptance. Everywhere in the world, people are looking out for acceptance. Acceptance is another word for love. Because we operate out of rejection. Am I a rejected being? None of us are rejected beings. What is the sign that we feel rejected? When we go after counterfeits of other kinds. You can go for alcohol, drugs, sex, all these counterfeits to the pure love and acceptance of God. When He said He's blessing us with saying, I accept you fully. You know, when you find a disturbed child, we do parenting workshops. We say one of the things you do to settle a child is to show them immediate love, either tactile love, or what is the problem? Just giving them the attention shows acceptance. That is the God we have. A God who gives us a clear conscience that we can go to bed every night and put our heads on the pillow and we are at peace. That is the God we worship. You know, we have perfect relationships. Relationships are good. I know that if I've learned some lessons in life, one of the most important lessons is to have good relationships. And there is no price one can pay to have good relationships. But there was one who came down, Jesus, to die for us, to reconcile us to the Father, to establish our relationship with God, and to help us to reconcile our good relationships with one another. That is some of the priceless things of blessing. Do you want these blessings that I'm talking to you about? And, you know, Andrew and Lassia, value this proclamation of blessing upon you. You know, it was great to see the affection that there's been expressed between you and your sister. You know, there's great affection between the two of you. That speaks about God's blessing. When there is strife within a family, there is no blessing. When there is peace in a family, that is blessing. And it begins at that level and then expands and then can be taken to a national level. Our nation is going through strife at the moment and hatred and division. The answer is the God of the Bible, who will come to bring reconciliation and peace. That's why we have the power to bless our nation. When we are blessing our nation, what are we blessing our nation with? We are blessing them with love and good relationships and peace. So that's my first point, the first B, blessing. The second B is bountiful, okay? Be fruitful, which Jesus reiterates again in John 15, okay? I did not choose you, or you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear much fruit, fruit that will last. What is fruitfulness? It is productivity. It is success. It is people who are having purpose and fulfilling something in life. You know, we are aimless when we don't know what we want to achieve in life. And I see Andrew and Lassia, two purposeful individuals. May God give you bigger and bigger purpose in your life. And when we are teaching on marriage, I ask couples sometimes, what is the purpose of your marriage? And some of them said, we've never thought about it. You know, we don't know, what is the purpose of my marriage? And if you as a couple here have never asked yourself the question, what is the purpose of your marriage? And I'm not talking about it vaguely. You must get more specific. To give you an example, Lynn and I are involved in the inner healing ministry. That is our current purpose of our marriage. We give ourselves to it, or to be involved in other marriage couples or family life. That is, now other people have other ministries to proclaim the gospel in a different way. But Andrew and Lasya, may God bless you with progressive purpose. You're starting at one level, and you know, it takes intentionality to come on your wedding day and play in the band here. May God give you that high purpose continually, to be instruments to cause others to worship the living God. You know, success and fruitfulness. If you're sitting down here today and your life is going nowhere, it has no purpose. God's intention is that your life would have purpose, that it would be purposeful, it would be fruitful. And all you've got to do is tap into asking that God, what is the purpose of my life? He says here in Genesis, okay, where he tells them, be fruitful, multiply and increase. He's giving them a clear vision for their lives. You know, vision transforms everything. And so if you sit down and purposefully get a vision for your life, that transforms everything. You know, people who are depressed sometimes, you ask them, what are they depressed about? And the roots are invariably lack of love and acceptance, often, maybe at the parental level. And out of that, purposelessness ensues. So our God is a God who's going to give us purpose. May He give you purpose. So the first one is, you have received blessings. Secondly, you are destined to be bountiful. You are destined for success. I have this speaker friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine called Ram Babu. He says, you know, he looks at the congregation, he says, you are doomed to be a success. Okay. So we are doomed to be a success. What doom? We are blessed to be a success. Amen. So, and if you're saying, hey, this doesn't measure up to my life, I'm still looking out for something else in life. Well, hear this message of tremendous hope that there's a God. When He formed life at the beginning, that is the beginning. In between, something happened. But I don't want to go there. I want to start with us living in the good of a God who proclaimed the gospel of blessing to begin with. Can we stay there this morning? And my third B is bliss. It's a word we hesitate to use today. Does bliss exist anyway? I don't know what your idea of bliss is, but for me, it is a beach in Goa that's got, you know, palm trees, it's got a nice cove, and it's peaceful, and there's some guy coming asking you, do you want fresh water? Coconut water, and then he wants to fry you, nowadays also pancakes, and also, so that's my idea of bliss, there, sitting down there, enjoying bird watching, bird sounds, etc., etc. But bliss is really a state of heart. You know, you can sometimes be in the midst of turmoil and still enjoy bliss. Why? Because the God who created us, proclaimed that to us, you see. And you see, it says, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. I like that. A casual statement to end it. But it's saying it was very good. So Andrew and Lasya, may you enjoy the bliss of marriage. Enter fully into it, okay? And there is an intentionality about being blissful. See, can I be in bliss on this earth? Yes, you can. Sidestep strife. Sidestep those things. How do you sidestep? You sidestep by looking at the one who proclaimed this blessing. Fix your gaze upon Him and the author and the finisher of your faith. Sorry. You know, one of the things that really brings bliss is freedom from conflict. But conflict cannot be avoided. Why? Because we are different human beings. And conflict actually has to be harnessed for growth, for fruitfulness. The Bible, there's no time to get into that kind of detail, gives you a surefire way of resolving conflicts. It's in Philippians chapter 2, and it goes on to say, you know, really, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, whom being in very nature God, did not consider divinity something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Now, what is nothing? How do you make yourself nothing? Think of the concept. I am nothing. You're shorn of your ego and your dignity, etc., etc. When you reach that place, can there be a conflict? All conflicts disappear. And that passage, by the way, has been written by Paul because there was conflict in the Philippian church. And he's saying, here is the way you resolve a conflict. So bliss is freedom from conflicts. That means you won't have them. I prophesy you will have it. But you resolve it. And you resolve it when? Every night when you go before going to sleep. You talk, right? And I could see, I like your words last year, where you said, I will fiercely love you. Wow, what a poetic way to put it. And it shows passion. And Andrew, you've promised to listen to her and to do all the stuff beautifully listed down. Who did the preparing for marriage with you? Don't give me the answer, okay. But I'm just saying, they've done a good job. Because one sees that you already have the basics under your belt. Now you'll be tested to put it into practice. Okay? And when you're putting it into practice, you can have what you said, the adventure of life. To have fun together. So have fun together resolving these things. I was going to say, part of being in bliss is to celebrate differences. Know there are differences and you celebrate them. In Christ, all these three things I'm talking about, mentioned, can be restored fully to anyone who's lost them. So Genesis chapter 1, where God created us in this beautiful paradise, was lost in Genesis chapter 3, but can be restored if you go back to the cross and the resurrection. And I think the worship leader, I don't know her name, Samantha, you mentioned it today, that at the cross and the resurrection, we have the ingredients for the solving of every single problem here. You know, through the cross and the resurrection, because we can live this life, because of Christ in us, there is hope of glory for every one of us. May your marriage be filled with the hope of glory, not as an end in itself, so that you will impact the world with Christ's glory. Amen. God bless you.
You faultless before the prayer.